remote interference effect. It influences the magnetic field around the target. We don't understand the linkage in terms of mind and the target.
Really?
We know that the influence is at the magnetic field level. The effect, it acts at the atomic level. And the mind is not altering the material, but it is somehow interfering with the electrostatic inertial forces at the atomic level. And there's no permanent change. For instance, there's no degaussing effect of a magnet or a magnetic substance.
Okay.
Okay, solid-state electronic materials are particularly affected. There is one pure element that I have to keep proprietary because we're using it in terms of the size switch development. One element in particular, pure element, that's very susceptible to this effect.
Wait a minute, size switch?
The CIA attempted to develop a size switch years ago.
Does that mean a switch that could be thrown with the mind?
Yes, exactly so. That's what we're talking about here. We're talking about mind over matter at a distance, and a size switch would be effectively...
It sure would.
I'm sorry?
I said it sure would. A size switch could be used... you could blow up a bomb with a size switch.
You could indeed. Or transmit information, which was the original intent at CIA level, for agents to be able to communicate. Because getting in those old days, getting caught with a telephone in your boot like Maxwell Smart was not only damning, it could be deadly. That kind of stuff.
I wonder if an ICBM could be blown up. I wonder if a space shuttle could be blown up. I wonder if complex systems could be affected to that deadly degree.
We'll talk about this. I'll continue with this outline momentarily, but let me step aside. You might be interested to know that the Soviet extrasensor team, people on that team, were actually placed aboard intelligence collection ships downrange from the Minuteman missile test. So we would launch a missile for diagnostic purposes from Vandenberg Air Force Base, and downrange of Kwajalein Atoll would be our own diagnostic equipment. But the Soviets were there in ships monitoring the test too, right?
Yes.
And aboard those ships, sometimes, were individuals from the former Soviets' extrasensor team. Extrasensor is...
No kidding.
Yeah, and they were attempting to influence the navigation systems aboard the satellites, but they did not know... aboard the missile, but they didn't know what they were doing. And they lacked one thing, which I'm going to talk about in a moment. So they were not capable of doing what they wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Devices with weak magnetic fields are particularly susceptible. So pacemakers, for instance, would be a good target.
Uh-huh.
Or a clock.
Or a clock, yes.
Mm-hmm. Remember your clock incident?
Very clearly.
Yeah. The remote interference somehow weakens the magnetic field momentarily. Distances are irrelevant. They're totally irrelevant. So it could be a satellite way out there on the edges of our solar system or whatever. So there's two methodologies that we can employ as operators here. We can use a brute force mass attack, which is what I did with your audience against your clock one time. That's just a small example. But it must be effectively directed. It can't be chaotic. So you have to know how to direct that. And then there's the precision focused attack, which the Chinese are working on and may have already succeeded at doing. You have to hit the target in real time. You've perhaps heard the term retro PK, where you're trying to influence in the laboratory. Dean Radin and others know about this effect, where apparently mind can influence something in the past and the effects can be seen now. That's a theory that called retro psychokinesis. It doesn't work with remote interference. You have to hit a target real time. Okay? Now, that's a precision-focused attack. The effect builds very slowly. It's not a spike or a pulse art. It builds up slowly to threshold observable value. Okay?
All right.
So, first, in order to effectively do this, you must first acquire and connect with the target. So that's why you have to learn how to remote view, because remote viewing effectively does that. You acquire the target and you hold it. You've got a good, strong connection. And then you have to disturb the system dynamic. And that's the trick. So the one half is acquiring your target and connecting and holding that connection, and then not injecting information, but disturbing the target's equilibrium. And the way to do that is targets are really processes. If you take a thing, for instance, your own body or a telephone, it's really a process. It has a beginning and an end. It's decaying. It's a system that's entropic in nature. So we're really attacking a system. We're attacking a dynamic process, not a thing. Okay, that's important to understand.
Right, it's a process you're attacking. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Now, the way to attack, to disturb the process is still proprietary, but I'm going to give you a clue. I'm going to give your listeners a clue, and they're going to be able to figure this out. Once you acquire and hold the target using remote viewing, if you've effectively mastered that.
Yes.
All right. Here's the hint. Sometimes thinking outside of the box is not enough, because thinking itself is itself a box. So in other words, there are things in this universe that can't be understood by thought, only by feeling. No thought at all. The feeling has, you have to be able to understand things using only feeling. Okay? So what I'm suggesting to you is that once you lock on using your mind, that there is another modality that has to come into play to disturb the process.
The projection of some kind of feeling?
Perhaps.
You're saying that's still classified?
It's proprietary.
Proprietary.
My
the next,
agency.
I see.
Because we want to patent the size switch. And we also want to interfere with... In terms of countermeasures, we would like to be able to interfere with those guys, too.
All right. Now, I want to know something about those guys. How far ahead of us in this area are the Chinese?
Probably 15 years, unfortunately.
15 years?
Yes.
All right.
In terms of remote interference, but they're 15 years behind MIA in terms of expert remote viewing. So, you know... There's some cards on the table here.
What I'm going to ask again, what would be a typical current capability of the Chinese team to interfere with something? Give me an example of what could actually be done. You said a navigation system would
navigation
be...
Navigation systems where you don't have redundance are perfect. Any non-redundant, critical, delicate system, it doesn't matter if they're Faraday shielded or not, because mine is... doesn't care about Faraday shields, you know.
No, it's operating at frequencies we don't know about yet.
Sort of, yeah. But another thing to do is to introduce gremlins into U.S. Research, development, test, and evaluation phases of a system. Let's say we're trying to develop a widget, a classifier widget, or maybe we're trying to develop a new type of navigation system. And if you can spy on the U.S. and see where this work is being done, if during the test and evaluation phase you start pinging using this remote interference work, you ping periodically the test phase.
You mean like you ping on a computer?
Sort of. But what you're doing is you're interfering with the test results, and so the tests last longer, or the test agency may think that the product under evaluation is not working.